Good morning, good morning. I think it's okay. It looked like the other one actually posted as well, but it told me on my end that the broadcast had failed and they were shutting it down. So this one says public right away, and I seem to be going out over the live stream world. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Churchtown Church of God after a little bit of struggle with the live streamer. I think we are on. Of course, when you're only doing it once a week, that has to happen instead of the usual Tuesday and Friday. There, it is working. I got a message from my friend Rennie. So that's cool. There's the altar. Walking up toward the altar, walking past the beautiful instruments to the beautiful altar, and you will look out at the beautiful sanctuary. It is a beautiful day, and it is a beautiful day to mow grass. Mow grass. Today we mow grass. Tomorrow morning is another serve morning. I'm going to be staining a big swing, and I am also going to be cooking all of you new song singers and your families. We got a big old meat Saturday going on. I hope that I can stain. They're saying that it might be transitional weather with a little bit of wetness. But then like 85 on Sunday and 81 on Monday. Whatever. Whatever. It's all good. So here we are. Hello, Melissa Myers. Hello, everybody. It is an open Friday. From what I saw, maybe I didn't see all of them, but I only saw one question regarding Friday. So I have a nice scripture here for us that I was led to this morning. We can unpack that scripture a little bit. Good morning, Mark. Welcome, everybody, to Turning on the Lights. It's what we do. Oh, thank you. Yes, I will stay away from it. Good morning, Brittany. I hope that you don't mind me tagging you. You were talking about Bible study. This is something that that we do here, that I do here, Tuesday and Friday. We call it Turning on the Lights. I've been doing it for 8 years. Ever since, I always say the second day, the day after Facebook Live was a thing, I was playing around while I was cleaning the church, and I turned it on, and we called it Cleaning Day at the Church. And it has taken into this form right now, every Tuesday and Friday. Tuesday is around 9 o'clock, or a little after 9 o'clock, because I have to take Mackenzie to school. Now, that will only be for 3 more weeks. And then Friday is around 8:20. Normally, this morning, Facebook Live would not fire up. Somebody who knows Kelly's phone number, text her and say, Facebook Live didn't start until 8:30. Brian might be a little late today. That would be nice if you would do that for me. So if you have questions other than, I don't care. You can ask me questions about mowing. You can ask me questions about being a pastor. You can ask me questions about scripture that you may have. You can ask me questions about what it's like, small church life, what it's like living in a parsonage. You can ask me questions about my past, present, or future. You can ask questions about any theological topic that you would like. And I really enjoy fielding them and talking about them. In the meantime, in my Old Testament reading today, we're still in one of my Old Testament readings. We're in Chronicles. And the other of my Old Testament readings, we're in 2 Kings. And in my New Testament readings, we are in Matthew. And then I was led to 1 Peter 1 through something that connected back to Matthew. So I want to explore this. Much like we talk about all of Scripture is a commentary on Genesis 1 through 3, right? We talk about big fundamental theological things. And we say all of Scripture is a commentary on Genesis 1 through 3. And when you shape your thinking that way, you can see how that is very true. We can also talk about how the epistles to the churches and the pastoral epistles to individuals are commentary on the Gospels. They are the first commentary. Now, a commentary, right, is when a theologian, hopefully of some stature and some experience and orthodox, looks at Scripture and then writes an interpretation of it, trying, usually, to be as objective as possible. Now, that's not always the case. Like, one of the go-to commentaries still is Matthew Henry. It's because it is very objective, right? John MacArthur has nice commentaries, but they're very much slanted toward a Reformed theological point of view, always showing how everything is predestined and so forth. So you need to be careful about that, unless, of course, you want to reinforce your theological position. There are social commentaries on how Jesus was a hippie who helped all the poor people, all of those different things. Good morning, Miss Lori. It's always good to hear from you. God bless you. May the Lord be with you. We didn't pray this morning. Father God, thank you for leading us in your word this morning. Thank you for gathering us as a community, wherever we are in the United States and wherever this live stream may go around the world. We pray that your word will go out, because we know it will not come back void. Thank you, dear Jesus, for what you did, what you do every single day, and the promises on which we stand. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless Olivia. May everything just be right in line. We've got a lot going on around here, but we're talking about commentaries. And so if we take a step back from those commentaries, which can be on New Testament or different books. I mean, you can find volumes that, for example, N.T. Wright has written on Romans. He has just been involved in Romans. He has written biographies of Paul that are this thick, and all of the Pauline letters and all of those things. You can find all of that. If we go and consider those commentaries, we consider the first commentaries on the Gospels to be the epistles. Excuse me. And beginning with the book of Acts. Now you say, is Acts an epistle or is it part of a gospel? It was originally a part of Luke's gospel. Is Luke in the book of Acts? And, you know, it starts out, in my first account, dear Theophilus, I intended to tell you everything about the life and times of Jesus Christ. Now I will tell you about the initial missionary push of the church as God's Holy Spirit came down and God's church went out. And so I consider that to be the first commentary on the Gospels, in particular Luke's Gospel. And then we move on with Paul and Peter and John talking about all of the works of Jesus Christ, talking about who Jesus is, what he did, all of those things. So, not a problem at all, Rosie. Good morning, good morning. So we look at the epistles as the first commentary on the Gospels. 1 Peter chapter 1, and Peter, the letters that Peter, we are preserved, that are preserved by Peter, are so just like Peter, very kind of animated, very kinetic, very energized. Paul, you can really see his emotions up and down, and some of his letters are very long. And even within the letter, you see this from despair to great joy, let alone in between letters, like 1 Corinthians, upbeat, very, very encouraging. You can do this, team. 2 Corinthians, what are you doing, team? You are failing. You need help. I'm giving you correction. Good morning. And so, but when we read Peter and John, and they're completely, you get completely different veins of teaching in them. They're shorter, they're more encouraging, and they're more direct and to the point. Not that Paul isn't direct and to the point throughout, you know, at various times in his epistles. But when you're reading John and you're reading Paul, you be prepared for a punch as opposed to a full round of boxing. Does that make sense? So again, you can ask, this is Open Friday. The only question that I remember seeing is my commentary on conference. And I'll give you a little commentary on conference. It's conference. Nobody was really interested outside of conference, I think. Maybe what other pastors think. It's not really for me. I don't like being there. I don't like being around all those people. I go and I do my duty and I leave. That's the truth. And I don't make any bones about it to anybody. I go and I do my duty as I said I would do in my vows and I leave. I don't need to be walking the woods, journaling and doing all of these things. That's not how I'm constructed. And so those things make me crazy. A lot of the worship music makes me crazy. And I just want to go and do my duty and then turn in my clicker and leave. So there's conference, like I said, and not too many people are concerned about it outside of conference, and not too much happens other than a small group of pastors who maybe will take, you know, fall in line with one of the initiatives or one of the programs that they're offering. So that's that. Praise be. This is 1 Peter 1. You're talking about getting to the point. You want a glorious, encouraging punch to the face this morning? Huh? Who couldn't use a glorious, encouraging punch to the face? Raise your hand if you could use a glorious, encouraging punch to the face this morning to wake you up, because here it comes. No, not Mary Magdalene. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. What does that mean? It means that your faith in Jesus Christ has saved you from the wrath of God himself. God sought to redeem all of creation from the fall in Genesis 3. And through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who was 100% man, 100% God, lived a perfect moral life, a free moral agent who always chose correctly and was a truly moral human being, willingly sacrificed himself for you, for all of creation. And by God's grace, as being a part of his creation, you are redeemed unto him through faith in the completed work of the cross. This can only be accomplished by your free will. Without any free will, there is no love. You cannot hold a bat over somebody's head and say, love me, or I will beat your brains out. And they say, I love you. That's not love. You cannot hold a pot of gold in front of somebody and say, tell me you love me, and you get this gold. Oh, I love you. That's not love. Love is when you have enough information to make the decision on your own, and you do. This is what dating and courting is all about, right? Are those old-fashioned terms these days? But you meet somebody, you get to know somebody, you date somebody, you walk with somebody for a period of time, you get all of the information that you need, and if and when that question comes, will you marry me? You have enough information to make a free will decision. If anything else other than that is present, those are serious red flags. If there's codependence or coercion or manipulation, red flags, obviously. And that goes for any intimate relationship that you may carry between familial relationships, etc. So we see that we have all of the information that we need. If we did not even have the Old Testament, which testifies to the New Testament, we would have enough information, all of the information that we need. Will we follow? Will we respond to God's love and his willing sacrifice? Will we repent? Do we not want to be the way we have been? Will we repent and turn to God and say, I believe. I believe. and we submit ourselves. Remember Romans 12, make yourself a willing sacrifice unto the Lord. Just as Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, we willingly make our sacrifice spiritually to the Lord. This is my life, Lord. Do with it as you will, Lord. And so now we this right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He has created a way to cover us with the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ, which would be impossible if Jesus was not both man and human. And so here we are. Not only all of that. We would be like, would we be okay with all of that? I am saved. But we are being sanctified and leading a godly life. How? How do we know this? Because we are filled with his Holy Spirit. We are in a right relationship through Jesus Christ. We are covered. That's what righteousness means, right relationship. We are covered by the righteousness of Christ. And we are in his very spiritual presence by the power of his Holy Spirit. Praise be to God indeed, as Peter says. Praise be to God indeed. This is one of the common misunderstandings when you talk about folks who don't have the correct view of God's love. We say, well, we're all God's children, so love is love. He loves us just as we are. No, he loves you in spite of how you are. He loves you because you are his image bearer, and he has created a way for you to be his son or daughter. That is when you become, as Paul teaches, gives us the right to declare ourselves a son or a daughter of the Most High. So no, not every human being is a child of God. You are grafted into God's family by God's grace, which is made possible through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter celebrates this, right? Here is your glorious, holy, encouraging punch in the face for this morning. And I want you all to receive it. And I'll respond to you, Mitchell, sorry. And I agree. Well, I can respond. I'm with you. We don't even need to meet, really, right? Isn't there technology today? Didn't we do okay over COVID? Like, all we need to do, it's a business meeting. And that's what makes me a little bit crazy, Mitchell. It is a business meeting. And no matter how much you try to dress it up with this sort of worship or this music or these sort of Lectio Divinas, and it's a business meeting. Let's take care of the business in the morning. Let's hear the reports in the afternoon, and let's go home. Okay. See how we do it? For all you new folks, that Brittany, if you're still watching, we sometimes get several threads of conversations going because you know how it works online. Somebody will write in with a comment or a question while I'm doing something else, and then we revert back to it. So it kind of keeps you on your toes. Let me read this again. Knowing, right? Well, I just preached the gospel, which I do every time I open my mouth. It's my job. It's my life. It's my calling. It's my passion. It's what I need to do. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Living hope, right? We believe in a living God. You can have your idols, which are made out of whatever, and you can have your dead prophets. They are dead. Buried with their ancestors, if you're talking about biblical prophets, if you're talking about false prophets like Muhammad and Buddha and so forth, but I guess Buddha wasn't that claimed to be a prophet, dead, gone, not worthy of worship. Jesus Christ, worthy of worship. He is alive. And into an inheritance that can never perish, it is eternal, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, in the spiritual realm for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time when Jesus Christ returns at the appointed time, as the kingdom of God has done what the kingdom of God is to do on earth during the allotted time. And if you are a son or daughter of the Most High, you are part of the kingdom of God. You are a temple of God's Holy Spirit. And your job is to love God and love your neighbors and grow that temple. Right? That's why we have church, so that we can be strong in our faith and go and grow that kingdom. And when Jesus Christ returns, he will restore all things. And evil will be bound, and those who have died in Christ will rise, and we will live with him on earth, as it was in the beginning with the garden, earth being the temple. Earth will once again be God's temple, his precious, special possession. The planet that he created specifically for this. He and his worshipers. All in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Hey, welcome to life, y'all. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we talked about how you have a free will decision to make, don't you? You have all the information that you need to make the decision. You make the decision. You throw yourself at the feet of Jesus Christ. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You are empowered by God's Holy Spirit so that you may discern God's will for yourself in your life. You're moving forward in life, and guess what? You experience grief. You experience trials. You see things that are like so ungodly, and you're wondering what in the world is going on. Is not Jesus Christ present even within me? Why am I experiencing disease? Why am I experiencing trials? Well, because you are not glorified yet. You do not live in a glorified body yet. Right? All of the earth has not been redeemed yet. Disease has not been wiped out yet. The wickedness of man that creates things that harm us, chemicals and whatever the case may be, has not been wiped out yet. And we live in this broken, fallen world as children of God. Sometimes we call this the simul, right? Simultaneously, as we are covered by the righteousness of Christ, we are not made righteous ourselves. We are covered by the righteousness of Christ. We are simultaneously sinner and saint. This is one of the big stumbling blocks of new believers. I believe they've heard preaching, they've read scripture, they believe in Jesus Christ, they give their lives to Jesus Christ through repentance, all of that. And then they're thinking, well, this is great. This is a mountaintop moment of my life. It feels awesome. And they walk out into this broken world and they experience all the brokenness and the wickedness. And they're not only looking around seeing it, but sometimes it happens to them and they go through trials or they get a disease. And you're like, that's not what I signed up for. Jesus was supposed to fix all of this in my life. Scripture never says that. Never. The joy that you will experience is the joy that supersedes all human understanding. That means in the time of trial, even at the time as you may need nearing your physical death, there will be great joy in your heart because it supersedes all human understanding. That is the joy that God can provide, the hope that God can provide, the love that God can provide, the peace that God can provide. It's beyond human understanding because it is given to you by God through his Holy Spirit. So Peter clearly says, though you may experience grief and trials during this lifetime, rejoice. And Paul says the same thing. You experience all of these things, rejoice. And John says the same thing. When you experience trials in this lifetime, rejoice, for you will not die and stay dead. for the wickedness that you are witnessing right now and or experiencing right now will be wiped from the face of the planet. And you will be a part of that in the kingdom to come, in the age to come. Right? What does Peter say here? In the last time. So take heart. Be encouraged. That's what this morning is all about. I don't see any other questions coming through. So that's what this morning is all about. Take heart. Be encouraged. Oh, yeah, it's a piece of cake, right? No. When your parent or your child or your best friend or your husband or your wife is suffering, no. It's not a piece of cake whatsoever to submit that suffering to the Lord and allow him to empower you to rejoice in your faith and your salvation and your redemption, because you're human. We talk about stumbling blocks. The stumbling block, of course, is our humanity. No. I must make an idol out of this. I must go in this direction. I must take hold of these reins and do it myself because I need to save my mom. I need to save my kid. I need to save my husband or my wife. And it's hard. And brothers and sisters, you know my story. You know that I'm not preaching from some ivory tower. When we talk about hard, it's like get out of the ministry hard. It's like go find something else to do, as Satan was telling me to do, hard. It's like, if you think this is worth it, you've been sold a bill of goods by Jesus Christ hard. I've had those thoughts. I've gone through all of that. And as Peter talks about and others, it is like being refined by fire and purified. Keep your eyes up. Stay the course. One foot in front of the other, and be very intentional about submitting all of that emotion, all of that thought, all of that doubt, all of that fear, all of that worry to the Lord, and allow him to take all of that human junk and convert it into spiritual power. That's what it's all about. I'm preaching to myself and I'm getting fired up. Peter will fire you up. Read his letters. Last piece. These have come so that the proven genuineness, I keep stumbling over that word, genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. All of that garbage is turned into praise and glory and honor. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Free will choice. Though you have not seen him, you have enough information right here. You love him. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Woo! I'm going to read that last part as we finish off here today. There we are on Friday, and I'm fired up because it's gorgeous. It's mowing day. We got a new website coming in which you will be able to experience this in a video form. We're going to create a podcast out of this on Apple Podcasts. We're going to have all of the blogs, all of the writings that I do for the Churchtown Weekly there as well. And pray that that will be an encouragement to all who may stumble across it, because this is what it is all about. The power of God in you, the living temple of God, you, and his kingdom is you, your home, then to your local church, your congregation, and then to the church universal. And as you live your life like that, with the power of God in you, you are a point of light in a wicked world wherever you go. And you don't have to go far. But wherever you go, Jesus Christ goes. It is the old saying, and you know, I'm not real big on Christian cliches, but there is something to a cliche because there's a kernel of truth that made it a cliche, made it such a common saying. Wherever you go, preach the gospel, my brothers and sisters. Use words if necessary, because you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. Is what you're about to do, say, or think? Is what you are doing, saying, or thinking, does it honor God and does it honor His creation? That's the essence of the Ten Commandments. Let me read this again for you on this beautiful Friday morning, and we'll call it a morning. God bless you. Keep the conversation going in the comment section. I am going to put this out on YouTube again. You can like it. You can share it. The more that we do this, and you say, oh, you want to be like, no, I don't. I want this word to get out. Do you know that the algorithms for all of social media are so slanted against any Christian content that it takes the power of God literally to break through those numbers and get the word of God out? And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. Thank you, Rick. I said, I don't know if this was last week or the week before. Like, I'm not an apologist. I'm not a great thinker or reason, you know, all the proofs of God and all of this stuff. I'm a preacher. I believe in Scripture. I believe in the truth of the Word of God, and I will tell you about that. That's what He's called me to do. That's how He has made me and wired me. So that's that, and I love it. You have to lean into that. Right? And it's taken years to lean into that and say, who am I in you, Lord? Who am I? What are my gifts? How have you made me? Lord, show me. He showed me. Let this be the final encouragement for this morning. It is from 1 Peter chapter 1. And so go ahead. We're in 1 John in church this week, by the way. We're not, because we have a 45-minute praise and worship service followed by the annual spring meeting. Oh, you know that. Like, look past me right there. If my preaching does not direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's a standing order on church council to come up to the pulpit and throw me out the door right there and then. We just talked about that on Wednesday, by the way. If I ever preach some of the heresies that I've heard over the past few days, come get me. Throw me out the door. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Father God, the salvation of our souls, redeemed unto you, connected to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. May we serve as those living temples of your Holy Spirit. May we serve as the points of light in a dark world. May your church serve. The church local, the church universal, serve as an attractive beacon to lost souls, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, I didn't have any intention of getting that fired up this morning, but I'm feeling it. I hope you are feeling it too, because you are a son or a daughter of the Most High. At least I hope you are. And my prayer is that you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And it's Friday. You know what I'm going to say? Somebody say it with me. Somebody type it out. Tuesday, we say, good Lord willing, and the river don't rise. Friday, we say, it's Friday, so you know what I'm going to say. I'll see you in church.